Good morning again. That was amazing. I love worship. God does too. Did you know that? He lives in our praise. He inhabits our praises, the praises of his people. He told Jehoshaphat to put those that make music and those that sing praises to the Lord, put them in front of the army. They go first. Who shall go up first? Judah will go first. Praise will go first. Praise always goes first. We're in a battle, church. Don't let the enemy steal your praise. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your power and your gift of salvation, Lord. And for where would we be, Lord, without you? Oh, hallelujah. Lord, open heaven for us this morning. Pour out your word. Pour out your blessing. Pour out your spirit, your love. Prepare our hearts to receive, Lord, what you have for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What do you want from God? What does he want from you? When I lived in Oregon, I worked in a mill, and it didn't take me very long to figure out what they wanted from me. They wanted more. It doesn't matter how much you're giving them. If you can do that much, you can do more. God wants more. But I want more of him. You know, a man goes into the grocery store to buy some cookies. And as he's heading for the checkout line with his cookies, he stops to think, you know, I might be out of milk at home, so I better get some milk because I don't think I have very much left. In fact, the little tiny bit that's in there has probably gone bad by now. So he buys his milk and his cookies, and he goes home, and he opens up the refrigerator, and he looks, and there's some milk in there, but it's a little tiny bit in the bottom is gone bad. But then he notices in the new milk that there's a space on the top, so he says, well, I'll just pour the old milk in with the new. What do you have? You got bad milk. 5 times in Leviticus and also in 1 Peter 1:16, the Lord tells us, be holy, for I am holy. 6 times total. We're told to be perfect. That's kind of a high standard, isn't it? A little bit? A little bit. A whole lot, a little bit. Be perfect. Can we be perfect? We're perfect in his eyes because of the blood of Jesus. But yet, that's the goal. That's the standard we have to set for ourselves, and that is what we try to attain. Are we going to make it? Well, I'm not going to make it in this life. But yet, that's what we strive for. How much of you are you giving him? How much of me am I giving him? When we're praising the Lord and raising my hands, made me think of my daughter when she was real little. And she would come up to me and she'd lift her hands up in the air in front of me and she'd say, Uppy. Uppy. We can say that to God, can't we? 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Can light and darkness exist in the same time and the same place? No. One of them has to leave. Second Corinthians 6:17. Come out from among them. Be separate. Be set apart. Be holy. For I am holy, God says. You know, it's easy to fall into the things of the world. There's a word for it. The word is compromise. Compromise, by definition, is an agreement or a settlement of a dispute that is reached by each side making concessions. Or, to settle a dispute by mutual concession. Or, to accept standards that are lower than desired. Compromise. How does God see compromise? God doesn't make deals. He doesn't compromise, and he doesn't want us to either. Psalm 119, 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. The New Living Translation says, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. When we obey God, we're happier. The Lord said, if you obey my commandments, it will be well with you. That's something I always used to tell my children. And it's true. We'll get along fine. Just do what I say. Well, it didn't always happen. And it doesn't always happen with us, with God either, does it? But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the book of Exodus, Moses was sent to Egypt to bring God's people home. But he had to deal with Pharaoh first. And Pharaoh didn't like losing all his free labor. Pharaoh was told to let the people go. Now, apparently he had a hard time understanding that. Exodus 3:18, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Exodus 4:23, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me, and if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Exodus 5:1, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. In 3:18, it talks about the sacrifice. Sacrifices are for reconciliation with God. Verse 4:23 talks about serving, about being servants. In 5:1, it says that they were going to hold a feast. That's fellowship. That's gladness. That's a time of rejoicing. The order is important. We see the same order in the story of the prodigal son. We see first the reconciliation. Then we see the son willing to be a servant. And then there's a feast when they kill the fatted calf. How did Pharaoh respond? He wanted to do it the hard way, didn't he? Actually, he suggested 4 compromises. The first one in Exodus 8:25, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." 1 Corinthians 10:6 and 11 said, "Now these things are for our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." We're supposed to learn from the things in the Bible that they went through, that they experienced. If we don't learn from other people's mistakes, whose mistakes do we learn from? Ours. Egypt represents the world. Moses gave 2 reasons why this first compromise was unacceptable. 1, the Egyptians would be offended if they're offering sheep and if they're offering sacrifices to their God. But that shouldn't bother us too much, because if we choose not to offend Jesus, we're going to offend the world, aren't we? The second reason was, it's not what God had commanded. What does it say if we continue to follow the world instead of following God's commandments? It tells the world that God is not to be obeyed. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "Obedience is better than sacrifice." It tells the world that God is no better than any other God. But Matthew 22:37 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength." Everything. With everything that's in us. It tells the world God will save us, but we can do as we please. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." It tells the world that belonging to God makes no difference in the life of the believer. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." If any man be in Christ. That's where we're supposed to position ourselves, in Him. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. "In me you'll have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." In Him. How do we stay in Him? Worship is a good way of doing it. But we also stay in His Word, and we also try to stay in His will by doing what we're supposed to do. If you don't take your salvation seriously, will God